Stars Today is next on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
With the ninth pick in the draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select running back from Florida, Fred Taylor.
Dolphins showing blitz now. There it comes. Now back to throw. Turns and dumps it. It's Fred all alone. He's at the 30. He's at the 25. He's at the 20. On his feet inside of the 15. There he goes to the 10. Fred's on his feet to the 5. Touchdown, Jacksonville.
Where did this guy come from? You can't explain that. You cannot color commentate that. You can't play-by-play that. You can't tell somebody what I just saw. Holy smokes.
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, welcome in everybody. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you live from outside of Everbank, Tony.
Yeah.
Florida Blue Practice Field.
We're always close to right here.
We're in the vicinity.
Not in this general spot, we're always close to right here.
Greatest thing going on right now in your life at this very moment. What is it?
This
very moment. Yes, it is.
Shade
I love
is the
my
greatest
wife.
Thing ever.
I love my family. I love my son. This shade, though. I don't know if I'd trade it for anything right now. It is fantastic. And even, dare I say, a little breeze blowing right through the 10th.
Just a little. As you said that, it stopped.
It did.
I don't know if it's still blowing where you're sitting, but it stopped where I'm at.
Usually I'm a blowhard. Oh, we got a little fan going. Look at that.
It's a fan.
Tony,
it's a manufactured breeze.
I'll overlook the fact that it's orange and blue. I've used this one many times in the 1010XL home studio back in the day. Tony, we're out here. Mini camp. You and I brought the tent because we focused on camp, that aspect of it.
Sure.
The Jags apparently are focusing on the mini portion of that word as strong rumor this won't be a full-length practice, shall we say,
No. Apparently, it's supposed to be shortened today. For the fans out here that are looking to get autographs with a bunch of the veteran players that they haven't seen to this point, if you came out for rookie minicamp and maybe met some of those guys then, but, you know, guys like Julius Thomas and some of the new additions to this team, if the fans are out here to get autographs, it's probably a good day for that. I'm not sure how much they're going to be able to see as far as what this team is actually doing out on the football field.
Football
though.
Usually played in helmets, right?
Yeah.
And,
not a single soul brought out a helmet.
Nobody
today.
Working in helmets today, brother. Stretching usually takes about 20 minutes
like,
or so, right?
They are redefining the definition that Coach Wash gave it of gym class right now. It is gym class.
Although I think they went through a quick stretching session. You don't need to stretch much for a walkthrough, do
no.
you? Is that probably the case? That's
probably not
what I'm going with right now because they have broken up. They're doing some special team stuff going on right now, which I can tell you that they're doing that, Tony, because it's open to the public.
And that's
there's no,
right.
No secrets on this Thursday morning. Final day of the off season for the Jags, and they go into the little hyperbaric chamber, so to speak, for the next 6 weeks, and they pop out as fully formed grown-ups ready for training.
That's
camp.
Right. They don't want excited. The world. The world's not ready for the Jaguars offense. That's what it tells me today that they're shortening up this practice session. The world is not ready for what Greg Olsen is bringing to Jacksonville on the offensive side of the ball.
It is interesting to me, and I know you're kidding, and hopefully you'll be accurate, though, in that statement.
Oh, yeah.
It is interesting to me that in a league where the collective bargaining agreement doesn't fall on the player's side on very many issues, but in terms of practice time, contact on the practice field, the players certainly got some concessions in that regard. Coaches talk about the need. There's not enough hours to work with these guys to get them ready. You've got a new offensive coordinator, hence a new offense.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a rookie class and a free agent class that is expected to be a big contributing factor to this team's success that they may have this year. And, you know, you wrap up by skipping the last day of OTAs and you wrap up by basically taking the last day of minicamp off, even though they're out there. And by the way, not a Jaguar issue around the league. That's kind of the way it goes.
Sure.
That, you know, I don't know if, you know, a team like the New England Patriots skips their last day of minicamp. Yeah, well, they pretty much know what they're doing. They've got a system in place.
Or at least should, been, yeah.
Right. We don't question it because the results have been there. Don't tell me you didn't have time to get ready for the season, though, come training camp time. And I don't think that'll be an issue. But it is funny that, you know, had it not been open to the public today, you get the sneaking suspicion the Jags would have had a two-day minicamp this
right.
week.
Right. So. And look, it's the end of, you know, 4 or 5 weeks for these guys on the field. It's been miserably hot out there this week. And maybe there is some concern about injuries or that kind of thing, the soft tissue injuries that we've seen so much of here in Jacksonville. So maybe they're taking it a little bit slower, a little bit more precautionary today than they usually would with this kind of off-season stuff. So I can understand that if that's the rationale. I'm sure Gus Bradley will be talking about it after practice today, why they made the decision they did. He may stress the idea that, hey, we wanted to give these guys more of an opportunity to interact with the fans after practice as opposed to being out here in 95-degree heat. But I can understand there will be some reasons for them to shorten up a practice like this. It is a little surprising that it's happening the first opportunity that the public gets to come out and see the new toys. We're taking them out of the toy box for the first time for the general public, and they don't get to see Julius Thomas in action now until we get to training camp
right in
August.
So, you know, you've got the full complement of guys on the field, but they're not going to be doing a whole lot on the field today. And, you know, hopefully for the folks who came out here, they'll be satisfied with what they see. And like you said, it still will be an extended opportunity to get autographs when they finally wrap up. And we should have an opportunity to grab a player or two coming off the practice field whenever they wrap, which should be earlier than expected. Tony, I feel bright-eyed and bushy-tailed this morning. I got a little extra sleep today, which was nice. I didn't go to bed any earlier.
Yeah.
But my wife goes, it's 8 o'clock. And my response was, oh, blank. And it was actually my wife, who apparently likes to round things off. It was 8:07, actually, when I get up. Usually, when my son is in school and I'm dropping him off, I'm out the door at 7:15 every morning, south end of St. Augustine. When my son is not in school, I've been taking a leave into the house around maybe 7:45, but in the car,
right,
rolling down the highway at 7:45, you know, 23 minutes after that, feet are just hitting the floor. And to say I made it here at 9:20 would be accurate. So calculate the distance, and perhaps I found a wormhole on I-95 because I may have pushed it right up against the speed limit today.
Yeah.
Let's just say that.
You were coward driving today.
Isn't it funny, though? I'm one of these guys, Tony. I like to snooze, I don't know, however many times it takes, five times, I think. I've got like a 9-minute snooze, and I'll snooze for 45 minutes, you know, and just wake up, oh, good, I get to snooze two more times, hit that thing, and go right back to sleep. And that's my thing. I just like to drag it out a little bit. I'm not one of these guys that hits the ground running, but it just shows you what you're capable of when that cold fear grips you and runs up your spine.
We've all felt it. I mean, I know I've woken up on Saturdays that I thought were Fridays, you know, and I roll over and I'm like, oh, what time is it? 9:30.
What do I have to do? Where I don't have to be somewhere.
What is happening?
How can it possibly be?
You know, you get up and you start running around trying to get ready, and then it hits you. It's like, oh, it's Saturday.
I have gotten up a few times when I thought it was a different day. I don't think I've ever actually left the house. It's never gotten to that point.
No, I've never left the house, but I have been like halfway to ready to go do something, whatever I felt like I was panicking to be there on time for, and
you're
then
like,
realized,
oh,
I can go back to bed if I want, but now I'm freaked out. Now the adrenaline's running. I guess I'll just go have some cereal and start my day.
Yeah, whatever I was supposed to do, I was supposed to do that yesterday anyway. So
it's a wonderful,
I'm clearly a day late now.
It's a wonderful way to start a weekend to think it's Friday.
If you are coming out to minicamp, you're probably, chances are, a good chance you're already here by now. And
it's a good crowd.
Printing out your pass. It looks like a good crowd. It's hard to tell. I will guesstimate, not having really seen the breadth of how full the bleachers are, I'll probably get around 2,000 out here today.
That'd
be
my guess,
like that. And hopefully they're all availing themselves of these lovely jerseys and shirts with Blake Bortles' name and number on them. And, you know, coincidentally enough, if it's not hot enough for you, they're in black. So that's nice. And you put that thing on, and you just later on just wring it out before you get in the car, and you'll just be fine and go about your way. Who do you think are the most popular when it comes to getting autographs today? I think it's going to be new guys, right? It's all, everybody wants a piece of the new guys. I saw walking out here, guys yelling at Rashad and Julius Thomas and all these guys. Hey,
Julius
TJ
got
Yeldon.
Julius got the biggest welcome.
He got a big, huge roar, and that's because people, not only is he new, he's an established Pro Bowler, Tony, and people are expecting big things out of this guy, and they feel like, man, we've got a Pro Bowl caliber difference making skill position pass catcher for the first time since Jimmy Smith left, right?
Right.
I mean, at any position, I know Mercedes Lewis made the Pro Bowl one season, but a guy that you can go into the year saying, boy, I think he can put up Pro Bowl numbers not only this year, but for a stretch now. He's in the prime of his career, and for the next 3 to 5 years, should be knocking on the door, if not a perennial Pro Bowler. You hope, because still, the tight end position, not as deep as some others. Gronk is always going to go to the Pro Bowl right now as long as he's healthy. But you look around the AFC, you still have Antonio Gates, who's pretty good. But Jimmy Graham's in the other conference. Greg Olsen's in the other conference. Travis Kelce is coming up in Kansas City. Don't know how much love he's going to get from Pro Bowl voters in his third year. But, you know, Julius Thomas, I think, is still squarely in the conversation, if not firmly in the conversation and firmly locked in as one of the top three tight ends in the AFC.
Certainly in the AFC now with the way the Pro Bowl voting has changed.
Oh, that's right. It's a mishmash.
It's a mishmash. It'll just take the top four tight ends or whatever it is now. But look, I think he still has a chance to be that. Everybody knows who Julius Thomas is, right? And they know the kind of numbers that he put up while he was up there in Denver with Peyton Manning. We've talked about the back-to-back years with 12 touchdowns since he was going to hit free agency. We kind of knew that was going to be one of the Jaguars' primary targets, was going to be Julius Thomas. So we've been talking about that guy for a very long time here in Jacksonville. Well, now he's here, and while every time that he steps in front of a microphone, he's getting asked about that shadow of Peyton Manning and what was it like to play with Peyton Manning and how does Blake Bortles compare to Peyton Manning. Like, those questions keep getting asked. But if he comes out and catches 60 passes this year and 8 or 9 touchdowns, I think he solidifies himself too, and maybe some of those questions for him completely go away. I think that there is an opportunity for Julius Thomas. As much as I don't necessarily think it was all just Peyton Manning making him a playmaker, I think he's a playmaking athlete on an NFL football field. I think he sees an opportunity here in Jacksonville too, playing with a new quarterback and a new offense, to establish himself in this league in a way that he hasn't been established yet. And because his name already does have household value, everybody that's a football fan knows who Julius Thomas is. If he puts up comparable numbers in Jacksonville this year, then yeah, he probably is going back to a Pro Bowl. And yeah, he probably is still going to be at 45 on the top 100 players list, if not higher, having done it in two different places in two different offenses.
And for goodness sakes, can we stop asking him the questions about Peyton Manning at this point? I mean, seriously, it's not like he's avoided it. He's hit it head on. He's been asked by everybody. He's been very calm about it.
He was cool about it from day one.
It showed no level of frustration with that line of questioning. He knew it was coming. He's a pro, man. I told you yesterday, been very impressed with Julius Thomas, the guy, the little bit we've gotten to see of him around the building. But honestly, does anyone not know the answer to that question anymore? You know, I mean, what is he going to say at this point? Yeah, Peyton made me, and I'm really not worth the money that they signed me to, but heck, man, I'm glad to get it, and that, lucky me, right? I mean, really, what do you expect him to do? Change his tune at this point in time? He's dealt with it. Let's at least put that on the shelf. How about till after the season when we say, wow, did you expect Blake Bortles to be even better than Peyton Manning? That's the Peyton Manning question we need to be asking next of Julius Thomas, please. So today, coming up, we'll hear from Gus Bradley. We'll hear from Blake Bortles, who is going to be better than Peyton Manning. You just heard me say it, so it's got to be true.
Right.
We'll hear from those guys talking after practice yesterday. We'll see who
joins us. It's not the easiest thing in the world to match Peyton Manning.
No.
Considering nobody in NFL history has.
Well, Blake's going to have that forehead extension surgery, and then he'll at least, you know, resemble him a little bit more physically. Johnny O's going to join us in just a moment.
Yes.
We've dragged him away from a grueling Jaguars final day of minicamp.
He's upset that we're outside.
I can't believe he's...
I'm telling you, I can see it on his face. He's upset that we're outside because that means he has to stay outside.
Maybe he's going to go in, and he'll sit in the studio, and we'll connect remotely, and we'll talk to him as Johnny O soaks up some AC. So we'll come back. John Osier from Jaguars.com here with us today. Question of the day that I've thrown out there, put a lot of thought into it getting up at 8:07 this morning, was simply with this being the last day the Jags are on the practice field, basically they're wrapped up until training camp goes. So everything, every major offseason transaction has taken place. They've had a chance to practice in rookie minicamp, OTAs, and now veteran minicamp. How do you assess, how do you rate the offseason? It doesn't have to be a letter grade. It can be if you want to. Just how do you feel about the totality? Everything from signing Julius Thomas to Dante Fowler getting lost in minicamp. How, you know, it's not just asking you to rate things that are under the Jaguars' control, but just everything that's gone on with the franchise, things they've done and things that have happened that they'll have to deal with the consequences with going forward. So we'll take a time out here. We'll talk to various members of the media throughout the course of the next couple hours. Johnny O going to join us in just a moment as well from Jaguars.com. You'll hear from plenty of Jags as we're live. Final day of veteran minicamp just outside of Everbank at the Florida Blue practice fields. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, it's Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I think anytime you're not practicing in 105 degree heat, it's rest. So staying in the AC is restful enough.
Hot air, so hot air.
Yes. Steamy. One veteran observer whispers.
It's
maybe the hottest OTAs we've ever had. Guess the veteran observer as we welcome in John Osier, senior writer for Jaguars.com.
Well, again, I'm only going off four since I've been back, but this is easily...
It's tepid.
Yeah.
It's warm.
In this kind of humidity, 7 or 8 degrees, which is about 7 or 8 degrees hotter than normal. Makes a difference.
It's steamy. It's sticky. It is what it is.
Yeah. More and I like how you went with the A game today, by the way, on the question.
You like that?
Yeah. Nothing like... going out on a limb.
Throw it out in the last second. How's the off-season going?
I say the off-season. Let's go to the off-season wrap-up question.
What do you think about that? John, that's what happens when you get up at 8:07, and you're supposed to be on the air.
Way to swing for the fences.
You're supposed to be on the air in another city in about an hour and a half. And, I felt like I've gotten a lot accomplished since, 2 hours and 13
sure.
minutes ago.
Well, and the nice thing of having John sit down with us today is, for the first time since rookie minicamp, he can tell us absolutely everything that has happened at practice.
Yes.
So break it down for
us,
John.
Who's been stretching well today?
What is happening at practice?
A lot of good stretching and a lot of good hat wear today. So, yeah, it's basically a glamorized walkthrough. Not much going on in terms of action or competition.
Very glamorous.
A chance for the fans to see the guys up close, really, is what it is more than anything. There's not a whole lot of, forward-moving work getting done.
You know those fashion, celebrity websites and magazines?
Well.
Like People Magazine and those things will do, who wore it better?
Sure.
Right? That we're going to have a bucket hat section on Jaguars.com today for the Jags, right? Who wore it better? They're all wearing hats out there.
They've all got the floppy white hat. It's a good look.
It is a good look. It's a smart look,
I'll
tell you that.
Some guys do wear it better than others. And yes, in case you haven't noticed, I do frequent the fashion websites quite a bit.
I didn't know where I was going with that.
Sort of goes without saying.
Mouth, but I kind of stumbled along.
I have
with
Pro
People
Football
Magazine.
Talk and People Magazine red carpet.
TMZ, baby, come on. Who wore it better, right? Would you rather? And then you side by side of Jags wearing their bucket hats out there. They're wrapping up very early today.
Yep.
What do you think about this? Seriously, around the National Football League, the complexity of systems, installing offenses. Not every team's in the same position, obviously, but you got rookies to integrate, you've got free agents to integrate. Coaches talking about there's never enough hours in the day. They're always grinding. Let's cancel a couple of practices. You only get so many of them in the off season. I mean, it's pretty league wide, by the way.
Sure.
The number of teams in different circumstances. I think the Bucs, who've got a rookie quarterback, and the Patriots, who are on the far end of the other end of the spectrum. Who are as veteran a team as you'd want, winning the Super Bowl last year, both canceling their final day of minicamp. So it's not just the Jags that shut it down early. What do you think about that?
I'm not so sure it's as much canceling. I think they're pretty well planned out well in advance. Hey, we want to get X done on these 9 days on the field. Most of OTAs, the vast majority of the work that they're getting done in terms of learning the offense is about being in the film room, meeting, I assume that if there were things they thought they hadn't gotten done, that they would have not had the lighter practices at the end of each of the OTAs and the minicamps. But they have a schedule. They wanted during OTAs to get a certain amount of the offense put in each day, and they went with the install on that. And then I'm assuming they had a couple of things they wanted to get done in minicamp this week. But most of the work is done in terms of the mental that you're talking about in the film room, meetings, and then reviewing what they've done in these 9 or 11 days on the field.
So you think, based on just haven't been out here for everyday OTAs and obviously sitting in on those press conferences with Gus and everybody afterwards, do you feel like they are where they expected to be? Are they a little bit ahead of maybe where they hope to be?
I think they're where they wanted to be.
Yeah.
And it's not hard to say that because they have a schedule and they stick to the schedule of what they want to put in each day. Now, each player would have to tell you, hey, how well versed am I, especially offensively?
Right. Am I retaining
Do I
all
get
that
it?
Stuff?
They're obviously seeing things they like. I think the big quote and the big theme a couple weeks ago was Greg Olsen and Blake Bortles saying, not many mental mistakes for the offense. And what a lot of the players say is an offense that has some complexity. I would think that's a good sign that they haven't had a whole lot of mental errors early. They seem to be grasping it. And then there is the sort of fourth draft run through in training camp, by the end of which you hope there's very few mistakes and if they get it. But you know, that's to be played out in a couple of weeks, or five weeks.
I sit here and say this now because we're in the moment, and, you know, the practice is going to wrap up shortly. But 5-6 weeks from now when training camp rolls around, I don't think, you know, one extra minicamp practice,
right,
would that really show up and make a difference in any,
right,
appreciable way? Probably not.
Again, they plan this out. Gus, these guys have been assistants on other staffs. They've been here for a couple of years. They know what they needed to get done during the off season, and if they had needed that 10th day of OTAs, or if they had needed more time, they're doing stuff out here. They're walking through special teams, and so there's production on that level. They're just not going 100% with 9-on-7, 11-on-11, or 7-on-7 drills today. This is more of a special teams work, which they haven't had a complete practice of special teams yet. So this is that day.
Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you, sitting down with John Osier from Jaguars.com. Is there a player who has surprised you out here and maybe pushed for more playing time? To me, we don't know exactly who the starting four in any given snap are going to be on the defensive line. I don't think it's that important because they rotate guys in there. I imagine Audric, Marks, Miller, Clemens, if everyone were completely healthy,
sure,
that's your front four. But is there a guy who is, in your mind, a backup player that is closed the gap the most on a guy starting ahead of him, at least making things interesting or maybe distinguishing himself a little bit more than expected?
I think the guy who fits that maybe better than any is Ace Sanders. And, you know, this time last year, 6 months ago in the off season, I would have said that Ace was going to have a tough time being on the team. Now he has looked very good out here, has gotten reviews. They've talked about his consistency of effort. It showed up at times. I don't think he's going to be one of the top three, but I think he has a much better chance. If he plays the way that he has played during OTAs, if he translates that to training camp in the preseason, I think he's on the team, and I wouldn't have necessarily said that 6 months ago.
And how much of a factor then will be whether or not he's the starting punt returner? Does he have to be almost?
It would really, really help. I don't know if there's any have-tos, but it would be surprising if he's not the starting punt returner, and he's on the roster.
Because if he's not the starting punt returner, is he playing at all on special teams? Is he contributing on special,
right,
teams? Small guy, and if that's
the
case, usually you ask your fourth receiver on,
right,
at least.
Right, so that's the question. Is there, if they put Tandon Doss or Brian Walters in a punt returns, and they completely outplay Ace Sanders in the preseason, does that trump everything they've seen from him as a receiver? Also, Tandon Doss is not a guy to sleep on. When he's throwing the ball and when there is live action during practices, in the time that he's been here, he's shown up. So it's not absurd to think of him as that fifth receiver either.
You mentioned Ace Sanders, and a guy that we haven't talked about a whole lot since rookie minicamp basically is Rashad Green and whatever he's been doing on the practice field. I know he struggled a little bit at that minicamp. Has he looked better through the last 3-4 weeks?
I'd say it's been a process. He hasn't stood out, to be honest, but there's probably, you know, 60 guys who haven't stood out. The guys who have stood out are Robinson and, you know, Julius Thomas. The guys who are sort of ascending, you think are going to be core guys. I don't think Rashad Green fits that category, but I also don't think that's that unusual for a fifth-round draft pick 3 or 4 weeks into OTAs to not have had very many wow moments. It would be stranger if he had and you were saying, wow, wow, wow. Training camp, preseason, he needs to look better. I still think he's in the mix. He just hasn't had a dazzling OTAs. But it's hard to dazzle there. The guys who do dazzle are the guys we've all been talking about.
Allen Robinson, Gus Bradley said yesterday, needs to play angrier, right? Another, mm-hmm. I think more assertive, right?
Yeah.
Attack the football.
Allen talked about that on Jaguars.com Live with us, a little plug.
Well,
for
why don't you
so
tell us what he said?
You don't really need to talk about it since we've had it on that show.
Why don't you tell us what he said?
But he basically said that he felt like he did a better job of what Gus was talking about in it when he was at Penn State than he did last year. And he said, yeah, I've got to get back to that, and he knows it. He didn't say this, but it struck me as he was talking, sort of probably a pretty common thing. You're coming in as a rookie, and you're trying to figure out where you are, and you're trying to figure out the routes you're running, you're trying to figure out the offense, and you sort of get away from being the aggressor and being just a monster on the field and doing the things that where you're saying, I'm the best player out here. Well, I think he seems mentally when he talks like he's getting back to that point of, all right, I know I can play in this league. I feel it now. I know what I'm doing. So I expect him to sort of go into each game now thinking, okay, Whereas last year I was trying to prove I belonged. Today I can show I'm the best player on the field. Whether he is or not, that's the mentality you want. I think it's a lot easier to do that as a second year player than as a first. I don't think it was unusual that he didn't do that last year. But I, you know, he's a guy that, especially since he's come back, has been the player, even beyond the standout plays, just the way he's walking, the way he's talking, he looks like a guy who's ready to be a core guy for this team.
They need him. I mean, they need him to be that guy. They need somebody out of that class to be that guy.
And you need to have that starting to happen. And if you think about it, it sort of is. Telvin Smith on defense is a guy that showed last year, okay, you would think he's in a position to make a jump. Brandon Linder had a very good rookie year last year. You package Allen Robinson with that, and again, all of a sudden, you're starting to get more and more guys who look like they're guys who can step up and lead, and not lead in the locker room, but lead on the field and be good players who you notice on the field. One more guy who looks like he has a chance to do that, a good sign.
Some people choose to lead from their computer console. That would be John Osher.
No, I choose not to lead, Mike.
He leads on Jaguars.com.
I opt to follow.
Well, fine then. You're going to be a tough act to follow today.
No,
although practice, I think it's wrapping up rather quickly. So get out of here.
I'm going to follow the pack out there.
Go do some work and see if you can produce some original content for Jaguars.com that Tony and I have not already covered.
That's right.
On this program.
It'll be tough.
I know it will. Johnny O, good to see you, buddy.
And we're on Monday, right?
That is correct.
I look forward to it.
Oh, everyone in the vicinity will look forward to it. John Osher coming up on Monday. If he doesn't cover it already, Tony, at Jaguars.com, and hence there'll be no need to talk about it after the weekend. All right, there he goes, the senior writer from Jaguars.com coming back. They're going to wrap up practice pretty quick, Tony. We may be back with a player sooner rather than later. You also hear from Gus and Blake from yesterday. We'll get some of that sound coming your way, some more observations from OTAs and minicamp practices now. Wrapping up today and hiatus until training camp. We'll see how much time Blake gets with those pass catchers on their own time. That'll be an interesting subplot to follow. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Tyler Devitt back at Mission Control. We're live at the Florida Blue practice fields. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And with that, folks, basketball season's over now. Hockey's over now. Baseball season in mid-swing. If you're just figuring it out right now, it's too late to join one of those season-long fantasy leagues for any of your sports. Golf, NASCAR, they're well into it. But, hey, you can still play daily fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com the way I've been doing it since the start of the season. Got into it during football season the last few years, but really taking a liking to FanDuel for baseball because baseball is a long grind, baby, 6 months long. But with FanDuel, you get in, you get out, you play each day, or maybe you play one day a week. It's really up to you. With a salary cap format, it's really simple to apply. You can have just about any player to start your team and then fill it in with guys you can afford under the system. Go to FanDuel.com. Click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. When you do, just put in my first name, Mike, M-I-K-E. FanDuel will match your first deposit dollar for dollar up to $200. That's a great way to get started. Real cash prizes with immediate cash payouts. Daily fantasy baseball couldn't be easier. The only place to do it is where I do it, FanDuel.com.
I'm Paul Posluszny, and you're listening to the best Jaguars coverage in Jacksonville on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Well, when we get done tomorrow, I'm going to have to start practicing a lot. So we'll see. I actually beat Scobie the other day. I'm sure he didn't tell anybody that, but he gave me a stroke a hole, and I beat him.
Does it count? I guess it counts, right?
As long stroke as a hole, I mean.
Hey, look.
Scobie's giving a stroke to a lot of guys on this team.
That's what handicaps are for, right? To even out the playing conditions, and that's just the way it goes. Sergio Brown coming this way right now? Did I see Sergio Brown?
He might be. I don't know.
Blake going to work on his golf game. I hope Blake is going to go up to, like, Wisconsin and work on his golf game so he doesn't melt when it's all said and done.
I think Sergio's heading this way.
Oh, maybe we'll get a little live Ric Flair action right now. He got overtaken by the mass or the masses getting autographs, but we're going to sneak him on and chat with
him. Are these guys waiting
for
autographs
minutes.
Or y'all just want to go home?
I don't know how they do it up in Indy. I don't know how they do it up in Indy, but in Florida, when it's hot, baby, we've had enough. And let's call it a day. Sergio Brown, give me two claps and a Ric Flair real quick. There's my man right there, ladies and gentlemen, Sergio Brown. How you doing, man?
I'm doing wonderful. How you doing?
You got to love it when the coaching staff says, hey, we may not be going so hard on that last day of practice, right?
It's like the last day of school, and they end up surprising you with like a half day.
You get out at noon today. Woo! How did it go for you out here, man? OTAs, mini camp. you know, acclimating to a new team, new set of teammates. How was it?
Hey, man, it's wonderful, man. It's still a process. It's like day and night from day one of the 61 days opposed to the 61st day. You know, everybody's getting to learn each other more, getting acclimated to the playbook, the heat, the coaching staff, the culture. I mean, it's wonderful, man. It's just wonderful.
Great opportunity for you, obviously, to come in here and compete for that free safety spot. But with James Sample getting the unfortunate injury, I don't know, you know, what the competition was going to be like anyway. Most of us figured you were going to start the season at the very least as a starting free safety. But are you getting comfortable back there, just kind of being that general, that last line of defense, the guy who's got the look over everybody else on that 11?
You know, we got this thing, and we never want to be comfortable. You know, Coach says that the best type of growth comes from that uncomfortable place, but I say that I'm comfortable being uncomfortable.
All right.
And it's been great, you know, going back to just being the hawk back there, just surveying the field, calling shots, you know, playing instincts, and having the boys back. And the last line of defense is something that I'm really, really looking forward to, even though I don't think it's going to be able to get to me too much.
I like that.
You know, Sergio, you go to a new spot, you switch teams in the offseason, you feel like you may be a fit in a certain spot, but you never know until you actually get on the field. How do you feel you fit in to this Jaguars defense, having been able to be a part of it now for a month?
You know what? I'm feeling pretty good. I'm feeling pretty good about stuff. I'm still learning, and I'm not playing as fast as I expect to play by game one. Shoot, I've only been in the playbook for 61 days, but it's been great. It's been a lot of fun, and we've been doing a lot of growth. But you know, I really can't wait till those pads come on, so you can really see what things.
And that's the thing, right? I mean, we can see stuff as a casual observer like myself. I come out here, I can see, is Blake throwing the ball well? Are the guys catching the ball well? Are the DBs up tight in coverage? But beyond that, what are you looking for to tell that you guys are getting it in a non-contact kind of situation?
It's mostly technique. You know, as a defender with no pads on and the way practices are set up just for safety reasons, it's at a disadvantage for the DB. You know, so if we're able to keep our good technique, have good feet, and be able to really worry about the mental part of the game, we're able to show growth. We do more. You can see more in the meeting room and how we talk about things and how we understand each other, how we understand the concept of the offenses that are trying to attack us and the defense that we're playing. You can see how things are getting to go. And we're calling ourselves savages this year. So
nice.
When the pads come on, you know, it's going to get a little violent out there.
I like that, savages. I know Jonathan Cyprian going into his third year now here in Jacksonville. A lot of fans have a lot of expectations for him as a player. Has he been a vocal leader for you guys on that back end of the defense?
Yeah, he's been in that leader role basically since he stepped into the organization. And he's not shy about talking. He has great expectations. He's a tremendously hard worker, you know, and he expects and he demands that from his teammates as well. As a young guy like that, it's kind of impressive to see someone that serious about his game. And I applaud him for that, and it's going to be easy and great to work with.
You come in here having been on the other side of Andrew Luck in practices for the last few years. Now you get to see Blake Bortles on a daily basis. And, again, it's not football like we're going to see when the fall rolls around. But from what you've seen, what has stood out to you about Blake?
Blake, he's a tremendous athlete. You know, he's a tremendous athlete. He can make every throw on the field. He's a tall guy. He's a competitor. And those are like some things that you just can't coach. You know, he's not where he wants to be as a quarterback, and he'll tell you about that. But you know, you can see how much potential he has, and you can just see how much he's stepped up and grown since even last year when I played against him. And I can't wait to, you know, the fire gets to rolling, because that competitive, that real, that game time, that brings a lot out of some people. And I think Blake is one of those guys that's a gamer.
Speaking of athletes, Julius Thomas, just coming to Jacksonville in the offseason, part of that free agent class with you. How nice is it to have that kind of athlete on your side instead of having to figure out some way to defend him week to week?
Hey, man, it's great, definitely, with a quarterback like Blake Bortles. And so you have those two tight ends, and a tight end is a quarterback's best friend. So I feel like they're going to make it tremendously easier for Blake, and it's going to get they're going to help the whole team get acclimated to the season and to the change that we're doing as Jaguars.
So what now for Sergio Brown as you guys go away? I know, you know, the questions for Blake and the receivers are you going to get together? What does a safety do in this time other than rest your body, get ready for the grind of the season? How do you prepare for training camp?
Oh, man, you have to get your body into tremendous shape. You know, I feel like it's a marathon and not a sprint. So from here, you still got to grow and keep climbing upward, you know, so you can your body can make it through the long season that we have, and we'll be able to play in February and then,
right on,
you know, in January. So I'm still taking it as an upward slope. And, you know, I'm trying to get more acclimated to just playing that middle of the field more so, opposed to right, left, going down sometimes. I'm trying to put my mind in the mindset of a true free safety and just change my mindset to be the best I can in the middle of the field most of the time.
You got 6 weeks to grind, 6 weeks to study before training camp. You also got 6 weeks where you can spend a little bit of downtime doing what you want to do, Sergio. Any plans for the rest of this time?
Oh, man, I got a lot of plans. You know, I'm currently getting my master's at the University of Miami.
So congrats,
my
man,
MBA.
Awesome.
So I'm going down there. We start classes on Monday. So I'm going and doing that. And then I love to travel. You know, I'm a nature boy, international player with a passport. So I'm doing my trip, and the Jags are going to let me go over to London and do a little bit of promotion for the London game.
Nice.
So I'm going to go over there. I'm going to be over there from the 14th to the 17th, you know, pumping up the Jags and trying to have everybody in London doing two claps and a Ric Flair by the time we
go.
Go
be practicing, I guarantee you, right now, as they're listening today. My favorite thing that he said is he's preparing to play for February, which I think will make
like
a lot
that.
Of Jaguar fans
like
very
that.
Very happy. We don't know what February looks like around here, man. So we hope you're part of the group that leads us to February.
Hey, I don't know what it looks like not to play in the playoffs.
There you go. And you know what? Let's keep it that way.
For sure.
All right. Sergio Brown. Hey, all you Jag fans, let's welcome Sergio Brown and tell him how happy we are to have him here in Jacksonville.
Hey, let me get it one more time. You know, you're talking to the Rolex wearing, diamond ring wearing, kiss stealing,
woo,
wheeling, dealing, limousine riding, jet flying, son of a gun. And I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down. Now give me two claps and a Ric Flair.
Yeah, baby, Sergio Brown. Great stuff, man. Good to see you. Hey, congrats on working on your MBA, too.
Hey,
that
man.
Is fantastic.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Can't have enough smart guys around here.
No doubt.
They don't have any on this show, so Sergio, stop by anytime you like, all right, and class to join up, man.
Hey, I look forward to being a regular.
Hey, stay healthy. Have a good break, and we'll see you out here for training camp,
no
okay?
Problem.
There he goes. Sergio Brown of your Jacksonville Jaguars. And Tony, great personality. He's going to be a fan favorite.
Absolutely,
I don't question
yeah.
that. For a second there. Very impressive that, you know, he's not taking a whole lot of time off, and they've already got it, man. The young kids out here already know the Ric Flair. They know what's going on. I don't know if that kid even knows who Ric Flair is, but he knows who Sergio Brown is, and he knows he does this cool thing where he claps. He just called me out. He said, I know who Ric Flair is. Shut up, old man. I know who Ric Flair is. Sergio Brown, good of him to stop by. We'll see who else we may be able to catch up with coming off the field here as these guys are hanging out. At least if the folks came out here and sweated out the heat and to come out and see a little bit of practice, they're not going to be disappointed if they want to get some autographs. A lot of these guys are going to linger out here for quite a while. But practice wrapped up already for the day.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're trying to be merciful to us because, you know, it's the first day we've been out here broadcasting with the heat going on.
It's a tune-up for what we're going to be experiencing here in 6 weeks.
It's not going to be this hot in 6 weeks, is it? It might be. August? Wait a minute. Never mind. It could be. We need to work on extending this tent out a little bit, right? I mean, right now I'm doing pretty well, but that sun is starting to creep under the back perch of
just
the tent.
A little bit.
Although I do appreciate them bringing out the fan for us, Tony, and I'm going to point it back at myself now and take full advantage of that. All right, we're going to take a quick timeout. We'll come back here live. Still to come in the show today. the Honda Drive around the NFL, this date in football history. I think we're going to have somebody else stepping up to the podium here in just a minute, so we'll talk to whoever's been taken in practice from the media perspective as well, see if we can grab another player as well coming off the practice field. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you live with a gaggle of Jaguar fans. It is Jaguars Today live at the Florida Blue practice fields outside of Everbank on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, live at the Florida Blue practice fields, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here on this Thursday morning. Jaguars Today, just outside Everbank Field on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Gus Bradley signing some autographs right now. Blake Bortles just made his way through the autograph procession with a lot of fans still lingering out here, Tony. The quickest practice, perhaps, in Jaguar history.
Pretty quick.
They came out outside
of those like faux practices you'd hear about every now and then, where he'd make them all like Jack Del Rio. David Garrard told us that story about.
Right, they stretched.
He had them out with pads and helmets, and he was like, everybody can go home.
Yeah, blow that whistle, we're done. How about that? That's almost a little cruel at that point in time. I'm sure it makes them happy when they finally cancel it, but they got out here about 10 till 10 to stretch out, and by 10:30. They called it a day, and on to a training camp. Good news, no injuries today to report.
I would hope not.
This grueling practice. Now, over the years, give me a number, an estimate of how many bones I have picked with Hacker over the years.
God only knows.
Is there a number that large?
Do they
calculate numbers that large? I don't know if they do. I picked a lot of bones with Hacker over the years. But Hack, hello, how are you, first of all?
I'm good. It's been a large number over the last, almost 13 years now.
What do you think my latest bone to pick with you is?
The latest bone to pick with me is it in regards to the NBA Finals, perhaps?
No, it's in regards to the shirt you're wearing today. I go over, I said, Hack, you're not going to wear the gray 1010XL polo tomorrow out of practice, are you? Because we got some new ones, and they look sharp.
And they feel comfy.
They really are. They're light. They're moisture-wicking material, Hack. And I said, I'm going to wear that out because I'm going to fly the flag. You know, we're representing out in public. Got to fly that 1010XL flag. What does he do, Tony?
He wears the same darn shirt.
Where's the damn shirt he said he wasn't going to wear? Come on.
I figured. I had it on mostly yesterday. I knew I was going to sweat up a pretty good lather today. So I got a change in the car. I figure it's already dirty. Why not just finish it off? And it'll go in the laundry tonight, and I'll change when I get to the station here in about a half an hour.
All right, that's probably the most non-controversial bone I've ever had to pick with you. You're probably sitting here thinking, what now? Yeah. Seriously, after...
I'm wrecking my brain as to what did I actually say.
No, like after 12 years of knowing each other, whatever it's been, really, Dempsey, drop it. All right, just cut me a break here. You just sat in with Gus Bradley as he was giving his wrap-up press conference. Anything jump out to you?
Yeah, a few notes the fans want to take note of. The first practice of training camp will be on Friday, July 31st.
Will it go longer than 40 minutes?
I would imagine it will go longer than 40 minutes. The veterans will report on July 30th. He said the quarterbacks and the rookies will come in a few days before that. So you're looking at about 5.5 weeks or so until the rookies and quarterbacks are back, about 6 weeks. Until the veterans are back. Everybody will be good to go the first week of camp. The obvious exceptions are Dante Fowler, Cindric Marks, and James Sample. Other than that, everybody should be good to go, healthy, which includes Marquise Lee, who didn't work out at all this week with the team, did some individual work. But according to Coach, Marquise Lee should be good to go when camp starts.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things with him. They're trying to prevent a repeat of last year where he missed so much time, missed training camp time, and even if he was ready to go this week, I think they're going to be very careful and kind of like does it really matter? Will 2 days in mid-June make the difference, or are we more likely to have a negative outcome if he were to, you know, aggravate something, and then you're talking about pushing that into training camp?
Well, and we've heard that if it was game week, he would be able to play.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But they say that a lot, you know, game week, got a lot of guys play on game week, you know what I mean? And so I don't know if that means he's 100% or close to it, but given an extra 5 weeks, hopefully that will be the case.
Sure, and the deal with Marquise Lee, I mean, it's twofold to me with Marquise Lee. It's the fact that he has had all these soft tissue injuries in his first 2 years here in Jacksonville, and that trend seems to be continuing with what's gone on in the offseason this year, him not being able to participate in the minicamp. And the other thing was how confused he was in the offense last year. And was it because the offense was confusing or because Marquise Lee had a hard time picking up an NFL offense? And if it was the latter, then you're talking about an entirely new offense this year. And once again, he's missing part of the offseason when they're installing this offense. I think we'll find out the answer to that question when it comes to Marquise Lee once we get into training camp, but it certainly is something to keep an eye on once we get into August.
I think you're right because, you know, he talked about, as long as I'm taking the mental reps, I'll be good. But there's a reason they have these even walkthroughs because, you know, you put your body through it. You can study it. You can see it on the board. To translate it into three dimensions takes those repetitions, takes that practice time. Blake Bortles, by the way, just heard him say a minute ago, I think he said he's going to be around lifting for about another week.
Yeah.
Before he starts things up. Sergio Brown's going to get his MBA, his master's down
cool.
at University of Miami starting on Monday, man. So, you know, all kinds of different off seasons cooked up for these
guys.
Yeah,
you would think a lot of these guys go on vacation, but obviously that's not the case based on Brown and Bortles. And I think, getting back to Lee for a second, guys, this Jaguar fan base has been beaten down so much from the past. You know, you look at the quarterback situation with Byron and with Blaine Gabbert, certainly. So they're hoping so much that Blake Bortles can be that savior, if you will. The wide receiver position, Marquise Lee has shown signs, but are you starting to think that, I mean, Cecil Shorts showed signs and he couldn't stay on the field. Mike Sims-Walker showed signs and he couldn't stay on the field. There might be a little bit of that creeping in.
I think it's way too early to worry. I mean, it's been one season. One season is not a pattern yet, right? So, I mean, you want him out there, but I think he, for the most part, ended the season in better fashion, you know, and that's the high note that you take him off. As long as he's healthy for training camp, then if we have a recurrence of these kind of issues,
sure,
maybe it's a bit
it's
of a
like
pattern.
Dante Fowler, right? I mean, we talk
right.
about an organization from time to time that feels like it can be snake bit. They just, whatever can go wrong feels like it does go wrong a lot of times for the Jaguars. And Dante Fowler tears his ACL the first day of rookie minicamp. And we talked about this a lot, Mike, this idea of it doesn't mean he's a bust, right? But chapter one is, he tore his ACL in a rookie minicamp. That's how that kind of story begins for a guy who doesn't make anything out of a career. It doesn't mean that Dante Fowler won't, but that's how those stories begin. And it's kind of the same thing with Marquise Lee. Doesn't mean he won't be a good player for this organization, but the way the story begins with he isn't a good player for the organization is he's dealing with injuries in his first two offseason. He's having trouble picking up offenses in the National Football League. That's how that starts. And it's can Marquise Lee be better than that story? We're going to find out. I'm with you. I'm waiting to find out what's going to happen with Marquise, but it's out there.
It certainly is, but you know what? Week one, he goes out there and catches five balls for 80 yards and a touchdown.
Gone.
And it's gone.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's how quick. So
gone.
That's what I'm saying. If you can erase that perception that quickly with a couple of good performances, I don't think he's anywhere close to that circumstance where we're worried about, is this going to be a long-term thing? You may worry about it, but there's not enough evidence right now to know one way or the other.
You know, and training camp this year, you look at the position battles, and it is going to just be awesome to watch. You look at running back. I mean, throw your hands up. I think they want Yeldon to win the job, but Bernard Pierce, Toby Gerhart, Storm Johnson, I think all those guys are potentially in the mix there. Obviously, we've talked a lot about the O-line and the D-line. And at wide receiver, you know, you talk about Marquise Lee, Allen Robinson, from all indications, what I saw out here and people that I've talked to, has been a stud, not only these 3 days, but all the OTAs as well. Rashad Green, now that he seems to be 100%, looks very good for a fifth-round value out of Florida State. And a guy that quite frankly, some people have written off in Ace Sanders, has apparently looked very good as well the last 3 days. Now, we'll know a lot more when the pads come on, certainly, but there is going to be competition all across this roster, guys. I, for one, cannot wait till the end of July till this thing gets underway.
Yeah, Ace Sanders, I can't envision him with these other guys on the depth chart making a huge contribution in the passing game. And we were talking about this with John Osier at the beginning of the show, that it's still likely in our minds he's got to win the starting punt return job to be on this roster. But the thing with Allen Robinson, you want Allen Robinson to be the number one receiver, not just number one on this team. Doesn't mean you just want him to be the best of this group. You want him to be like a top 20 guy. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be the best in the league, but be a guy that you're a number one who would be a number one or a good number two on any team in the National Football League, because you've got a tight end that still, to me, regardless of what final numbers he puts up, among the five or six most talented guys at the position in the league. If you can get a wide receiver who's at the top 20-ish of his position, and then you get a step in the right direction again from Allen Hurns, building on his rookie year. If you get Marquise Lee to stay healthy and show us his potential, all of a sudden now those pieces around Blake Bortles, it won't just because the frequency that he's throwing to them, it'll be because of their development that these guys start to put up numbers that resemble an NFL offense. Let's be quite frank. They've been pitiful in that regard the last few years, particularly last year as well. By the way, whoever's doing the potato chip concession can't be happy today. Right?
No.
I don't think it was record-setting sales today.
No.
For the potato chip concession that they're breaking down across the way out
there.
But
it's all profit over there.
Hack, look at that field. Look at all that green grass. If my knees were any good, I'd go out there and we'd run some pass patterns.
Absolutely,
right now.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know? That would be fun. We would have a good time doing that.
I took
that
one right on the schnoz out there like 7-8 years ago.
And there's no
remember
evidence
the media
of this.
Combine?
I wasn't there at the media combine.
Yeah.
And this is going a ways back. We were at the other station.
We were
then,
at the
right?
Titanic, yeah.
And you were trying to field a punt off the jugs machine.
I was.
And
right in the face.
I mean, honestly, I watch these guys. We've all watched countless practices out here, and that's got to be, to me, one of the most difficult things to do. Never mind just obviously trying to hold up against like a 300-pounder who's trying to take your head off, but you know, just from a nobody's hitting you at that moment thing to do, to track that ball in the air and know that once you do catch it, if you secure it, you're about to be blasted.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
It's kind of a thankless job until, you know, you make a couple guys miss and you take one to the house and everybody loves you, but everything healed up all right.
Everything was fine. Yeah, the media combine was great. I mean, you don't understand from a sports fan and athletic specimen such as we are how actually hard it is to kick a 20-yard field goal. You think an extra point? Oh, anybody can do that. That's really hard to do.
Tony's right? Thrown down the gauntlet before. Tony thinks he can kick. How long?
I have kicked a 35-yard field goal.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
I have. And I had a friend of mine who played soccer. We were out playing around on the field one Saturday afternoon. We actually went to the field to kick field goals. That was our purpose to go into this field. I made it from 35. I'm not saying I could definitely tell you I'm going to make this field goal from 35, but I've made a 35-yard field goal.
Line driver?
Yeah.
Yeah. What has it been? Into your lineman's back?
Not getting over the line. I don't have to worry about any of that. But my friend,
it's a slow riser.
My friend made a 50-yard field goal. I'm not kidding. It was the first time he's ever tried kicking him. He made a 50-yard field.
He's friends with
goal.
Caleb Sturgeon.
Apparently, yeah. Or Roberto Aguayo, one of the two.
That's pretty good, 50 yeah. yards, man. I'm telling you, if I tried to kick a 35-yard field goal, hack, I would have three meniscuses or menisci in my knee. It would tear into three separate
my
parts.
My hamstring would pop. Everything would go.
I think, honestly, speaking of that, you and Tony should go out there. There's plenty of green grass. You guys should run some suicides. And
yeah, of course we should.
Yeah. You're finally catching on.
There's Dempsey. He's always got brilliant ideas for
game.
What someone else should be doing.
I was the one who spoke it first, so I get to call the shot as far as that goes. I'm going to make you go out there and sweat. I can't make you do anything, man. But it is fun. Doesn't it just, it's like watching golf on TV. It makes you want to go play.
Oh.
Right? You sit out here. Now that everything's cleared out, the stands are pretty much cleared out. The team's back inside. You just want to go out on the field, man. It's so gorgeous.
How great is it to be back out here knowing football season right around the corner? I mean, the Jaguars start at the end of July. I think the first NFL teams are in 5 weeks from, I want to say, today or tomorrow, because the Hall of Fame game is August, like, 2nd or 3rd. So football right around the corner, and the offseason goes by quick, man. We talk about it as we're going through the combine and free agency and the draft. They got all these different periods now in the offseason. It goes quick.
Oh, who are you kidding? You got fantasy Wimbledon to tie you over.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You know you got,
I got my draft
your
coming
fantasy
up.
Wimbledon draft. Have you been preparing for
I
this?
I have. I've been doing a lot of studying.
How many rounds?
Research.
How many rounds do you got?
4 rounds. There's 8 of us. There's 4 rounds. So 32 guys total.
32 tennis players. And basically, if you don't get one of the top 3 or 4 seeds, you're pretty much out of luck.
That's
right?
Exactly right. That's all the luck of the draw.
That's the way it goes. All right. What do you guys have cooked up for XL Primetime?
Yeah, Rick Ballew was out here. We're going to have him join us at in about an hour or so, 12:15 or 12:30. He's going to give us his thoughts on the final day of minicamp.
He's going to recap the stretching session from today.
Exactly. And just kind of, hey, but luckily, he's been out here for every OTA, every minicamp, so we're just going to kind of wrap up the off season, because that's what today really is. The off season's over. The next time they are here, the season has arrived. We're going to hope to catch up with potentially Matt Hayes of the Sporting News. He wrote an article about Florida State fans on the Sporting News not helping Jimbo Fisher and his personal life very much. Obviously, the Tallahassee Democrat reported last week that Jimbo Fisher and his wife going through some potential divorce proceedings, and Florida State fans have taken to social media and are really not helping matters. All kinds of rumors out there and whatnot. And Hayes wrote a really interesting article, so we're going to try to track him down just about when fan bases need to shut up, basically, and let personal lives be.
Good luck with that, man.
I was going to say, fans on social media interfering with something? I can't.
Yeah, but they're
it.
Getting pretty nasty about this.
Well, fans on social media are always personal.
Right. Yeah. People are getting on the internet.
Well, there's always a group.
Yeah, and every fan
phenomenon.
Base has him.
Oh, yeah.
Every fan base has him. So we're going to have to track him down, and who knows, maybe
Jaguars fans are only the best people you'd ever want to meet. That's all you've got. So the Jaguar fans are an exception to that rule, I'm sure.
There is no doubt about that.
You realize this is Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Bold City Brigade, right?
Why not? Tony and I are going, by the way. You can come with us, Hack.
Oh, I'm sure the Bold City Brigade is going to invite me.
Why not, Hack? Come on, can't we all just hug it out? What is wrong? What is the issue?
I have no idea. There was an issue that started like 4 years ago.
Well, we know what happened 4 years ago.
Well, I think I know why it started,
right.
But they haven't let it go.
Your fandom fluctuated about 4 years ago. Okay?
Yeah.
There was a moment where you were not quite sure which camp you were in.
Right.
Can we all just hug it out
They
now?
Hold grudges, man.
Then,
what can I say?
Come on. Well, you hold grudges. I hold grudges. We all hold grudges. I had the best time with those guys over in London. It was absolutely spectacular at the Union Jacks gathering that they had here. The St. Augustine group of the Bold City Brigade is holding Bold City Brigade OTAs this Saturday night at Ancient City Brewery.
I heard you talking about that yesterday.
Well, now I have enlisted the efforts of one Tony Smith.
I'm going.
Tyler Devitt, Lauren Brooks, yours truly.
Wow.
We're making a field trip out of it. Now, we're not going to, at least for me, I got to work till 10 o'clock. I had a show on Saturday night, so, but I hear those guys don't go to bed at 10:30 on the weekend. So.
They don't seem like the sort that do. No.
I'm going to find out. All right. So, Hack, I think it would be a lovely surprise for all involved if you were to join us Saturday night at Ancient City Brewery.
Oh, actually, you know what? I don't think I have anything going on Saturday night. I will check
better
my
ask
calendar.
Permission.
All right, well, that's true. That's true.
Times are changing around the Hacker House. Yeah. All right, Hack. Good to see you, man.
All right, guys.
Head on back to the station. XL Primetime coming up in about 35 or 45 minutes or somewhere. In that ballpark. Phil Mickelson tied for second right now at the U.S. Open.
That never happens.
He's my pick.
He never finishes second at the Open.
What will this be? Like, how many times seriously has it been? Six?
Six
runner-up finishes for him, so he's right in his sweet spot right now with a par on the first hole. The only reason I bring it up is because I picked Phil in my fantasy golf league this week. Cody Gribble, who everybody had winning the Open, is at one under par, the sole golfer currently under
Scobie
par.
Update.
Scobie update for you. Cody Gribble leads the pack at the U.S. Open at Chambers Bay. We will get a little primetime golf, which is nice, over the next few days.
Yes, we will.
And I'll take full advantage on Father's Day weekend of enforcing that. Not that I don't get to watch enough sports.
It's my weekend. I will watch what I want like I do every weekend.
All right, we're going to come back. We've got this date in football history. We've got the Honda drive around the NFL. We've got the best seat in town right now. We got a beautiful. It's really not that bad out here. I can't speak for the staff, the support staff, the wonderful people that are helping make the broadcast possible. I'm quite comfortable right now, Tony.
Yeah, it's kind of nice.
Got the little mini fan. We got a breeze. We got shade. We got it all. We got our no line at the potato chip. Concession over here.
Right.
Shortened right up. Everyone's cleared out. So mini camp in the books. Jags next on the field at the end of July. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, we're live down at Everbank at the Florida Blue Practice Field on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. On this date, 1963, 11-time Pro Bowler, 8-time first-team All-Pro, Bruce Smith, was born. Tony, what is Bruce Smith best known for?
Being bitter about Bocelli whipping
him. Worked by Tony Bocelli.
Hall of Famer.
Playoffs. He got worked as the Jags were trying to get to February.
I know it.
Sergio Brown will lead us there. Also on this date, 1980, one of the best tight ends, still one of the best tight ends in football, and really probably one of the top 10 all time. Productivity wise, there's no question. Antonio Gates, born on this date in 1980. That's it. Just a quick one because Amanda Borges is hanging out. We're going to get to her here momentarily. And as this date in football history brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. So that is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda drive around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones said after the team's minicamp practice yesterday that he fully expects Dez Bryant to be leading the charge against the New York Giants for the Cowboys week one for the team, despite his agent saying that Dez would be willing to sit out week one of the regular season and possibly beyond if the two sides cannot come to a new long-term agreement. Dez, who was slapped with the franchise tag earlier this offseason, has until July 15th to come to an agreement with the Dallas Cowboys on a new long-term deal. And Pittsburgh Steelers running back Le'Veon Bell told reporters yesterday he still doesn't know when the appeal hearing for his three-game suspension is going to be. Many expect that that suspension could be shortened, given that he doesn't have any history of bad behavior, at least within the NFL. So it's curious to see what's actually going to happen with Le'Veon Bell. Of course, fantasy owners keeping a close eye on that one to see how much time the most productive fantasy back in the league last year is going to miss to start the season.
I will be in New York next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. As you know, Tony, you'll be hosting the show with various co-hosts, but I'll be at the Fantasy Sports Trade Association convention, and I've got the first pick in the draft for the FSTA, and it's going to be a big thing that they broadcast live on Sirius, and pretty much just going into town for a couple of days to spend some time there. With the first pick, it's really, we're going back and forth. Bob Harris and I kind of co-own the team. Is it AP? Is it Le'Veon Bell?
Right.
If you knew Le'Veon Bell was playing all 16 games,
it's easy.
You take Le'Veon Bell, right? And even if he's only facing a three-game suspension, he's going to appeal that. If it was one game, you still might take him. I still might take him, but it's one of those two. And I'll tell you next week. By the way, thanks to Eric, I think it's Moosh or E.E. Moosh on Twitter, who sent me the link to the USOpen.com leaderboard where Phil is one under par.
Scobie, another Scobie update.
Close CBSSports.com, and I much prefer one under after three. Let's talk to Amanda Borges right now, intrepid Jaguars reporter for 1010XL, coming out here to do a video blog, which I'm sure will be very interesting. Watching Amanda's video blog is much more entertaining than listening to this program, guaranteed out there. But, Amanda, were you surprised today that here we are at 11:23, and there is not a soul in sight other than this guy who's trucking off the garbage, and this gentleman over here is breaking down a tent?
Yeah, typically at, 11:25, you said?
Yes.
We're still watching practice.
Yes.
Typically, this whole week during minicamp, practice is gone until about 11:30-ish. Actually 11:45. And, so, you know, it's like the last day of school. You never really get that much done. And so today the players, they weren't wearing helmets. You know, it was kind of a walkthrough. Gus said after practice, it was just kind of a mental day, and it was for the fans. I think there were around 2,000 people out here, which is pretty cool. A lot of fans got autographs. So overall, I'd say it was a good day. A short day, but a good
day.
Yeah.
How are you settling in into your new role? Have you been enjoying it?
I have. You know, it's funny because I'm a Florida girl, so I'm used to the Florida heat. But let me tell you, this week has been forecasted in the 100s, and I've never, ever had to deal with that before.
It's living up to it. It's living up to the forecast.
It is.
It's been steamy.
Although it's been very steamy.
You always got that Gulf breeze. I take it down there in Tampa.
Yeah, you're right. And here there is no Gulf or a Gulf breeze for that matter. But no, it's been fun. I apologize for you guys because, you know, I come out here for my first half of the day and then I'm at the station the second half and I have no time to shower. So I apologize if you ever get that weird stench. I know, that is
wow.
From me.
I mean, wow.
But I'm working hard, all right?
Tony works with
hard,
me every day. He doesn't even notice. His nostrils are shot, okay? They've burned out at this point.
I don't smell anything
Can't
anymore.
Be bothered by that. You should say, honestly, if you're interested,
where are you going?
I'll take it by my car. I've got a couple of golf hats in the car, Tony. I told Tony about it.
I was like, where is this?
They're not doing well. If you get within like 50 feet of my car, you're like, oh yeah, Dempsey's golf hat. I can smell it from here. It's I'm a cheap guy. I like to reuse as much as possible.
The best part about today is I have to do TV later. So not only am I sweaty and my hair is wet from sweat, I have to actually look decent for the CW later.
Oh, stop it.
You'll be fine.
So, you'll be absolutely
fine.
Spectacular.
So they're wrapping up the offseason today. Minicamp done. I know Gus Bradley talked after practice about when we can expect training camp to get started. For you, it's your first impressions of this Jacksonville Jaguars team. What do you come away with after these 4 or 5 weeks?
There's been a lot. It's hard since I wasn't here last year. A lot of people have said that Blake's improved, and that's good news. But there's always going to be, you know, when Blake Bortles was a rookie, of course he was going to make mistakes. He's new, and he said this before, there's a huge difference between year one and year two. And, you know, even though I wasn't here last year, I can tell that he's more confident. He's showing leadership, and that's a huge plus. Gus has talked a lot about when training camp comes, there's going to be a lot of competition at the cornerback spot, and that's going to be something exciting to watch. Let's see, on the offense, there have been a lot of rookies that have stepped up. So Rashad Green, I'm still kind of waiting to see more from him. But let's see, I'm trying to think. Neil Sterling, the tight end, he had a little bit of hamstring issues this past week, so he hasn't been practicing. Overall, I'd say good, but I just want to see more consistency. Training camp's exciting because there's more competition. You know, minicamp, they compete, but they know that they have some time off afterwards. But Gus said that they're going to spend the next 6 weeks to focus more on improving individually, and I know that Blake's going to throw around with some guys.
Yeah, he said he's going to stick around, work out for another week here, and I'm sure they'll get together and do some pass catching and good old team bonding.
And Blake's going to California, too, to work with Tom House for a little while.
Yes, he is. Tighten those mechanics up.
He's got to get that long ball down.
We'll see if they can keep him tight all throughout the season. That's the challenge, I think, when you get in those circumstances. As Todd Wash said, this is gym class. You can do a lot of things in gym class that you don't necessarily able to maintain when the bullets go live, so to speak, when the pads are on.
And I know you didn't have the opportunity to see it last year, Amanda, but look, when we were out here for this portion of the offseason, Blake is not an impressive guy in practice. He's really not. And when we got the preseason games, it was like this light came on for him that we were all sitting up in that booth looking at each other going, where is this guy? Like, Monday through Friday, where is this guy? And I think there is something to him where the lights come on. That doesn't mean he doesn't need to improve on what he did last year. But every time I hear someone say, no, he didn't look all that great in practice, I'm like, no, that's kind of what Blake is. Yeah.
Right.
All right, Amanda Borges, ladies and gentlemen. Catch her this afternoon on the Frank Frangie Show with Frank Frangie and a cast of thousands. And
thousands.
Also your mini camp video blog.
Yeah, that'll be on 1010XL.com. Just go to the Jaguars tab.
Well, go film it.
Well, I'm trying.
Do it so you've got something to go to 1010XL.com and watch.
You guys caught me before I could go shoot it.
We
so
hijacked
go
you.
Get to work.
On your way. What is your backdrop? What are you choosing today?
Practice field.
You could go sit up on the goalpost if you could find a little ladder to get you up there. No one's out here to stop you at this point in time.
I might try to balance on it.
You should get Tony to drive you around on the cart that they cart injured players on.
Volunteering people.
Different things like that.
So now you want me to start stealing stuff from equipment guys.
It sounds a lot better. I had Tony and Hacker, I suggested they go out there and run suicides for my entertainment. They didn't like that idea
either.
There's
a better chance of me stealing a golf cart.
I just keep throwing ideas out there, and eventually you're going to take
one.
Well,
the practice field is open, Mike, so you can
I know. Let's go throw some passes. I'm not
going
to do any burpees, thank you very much.
Can you touch the goalpost?
10 feet high, I used to be. When I had knees that were functioning, I used to be able to dunk. So, yeah, I could have dunked it over the goalpost back in the day, Tony, more than half my life ago. Amanda Borges, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for stopping by.
Thanks, guys.
1010XL Amanda on Twitter.
Amanda 1010XL
is exactly what I said. At Amanda 1010XL on Twitter. I follow her. I just, I just don't say it out loud all the time.
It's all right. It's all right.
All right. Go do your video blog par excellence. There she goes, Amanda Borges, ladies and gentlemen. Let's hear a couple of quick thoughts from Gus Bradley while they're still semi-relevant here. As he wrapped up after practice today, you're going to hear what he had to say today throughout the course of the afternoon on 1010XL. But here's how minicamp wrapped up yesterday with Gus Bradley.
I thought the tempo of today's practice more consistent, a better level of practice, I should say, from both sides, offense and defense. Obviously, special teams right away in the beginning, but very pleased. Again, good day by the defense. Offense, I think their mentality and how they competed was much better. So, it was exciting. I think we handled the elements better. I think the players really took the challenge and came out there and made the best of it. So, again, a good learning opportunity from yesterday and glad to see how they handle it today.
That's good to hear because apparently the offense needed to be challenged after what they were doing at practice on Tuesday. So they responded yesterday. Gus also asked how the Jags can improve their special teams, which at times were just awful last season after rating so poorly in last year.
Well, I think our, more our core guys, and I think that when we return our returners, punt returners and kick returners, I think that's where we got to make the big jump. Sometimes if you're going from 7 yards of return and punt to over 10, you can jump up really fast. So I think that's where we can make our greatest, gains in the return game.
Gus Bradley wrapping up yesterday's practice with a few comments on what the Jacksonville Jaguars had to offer on the practice field. Tony, my cuts have seemed to have disappeared from my view, so if you could tell me
what's
coming up next.
Gus Bradley talked about Blake Bortles, and as Amanda mentioned, as she was just sitting down with us a moment ago, talked about Blake Bortles and that long ball.
I think his short game, his intermediate game, is really showing up. I think the one area that maybe we've got to challenge him more on is the long part of his game. You know, to back him up on this, we haven't done a lot of it in practice. Whether it's, 110 and how many times can you send a guy on, deep post routes to work on it. We're trying to find ways to do that, and take care of our players. But sometimes we need to get to that level and help him gain confidence in that part.
Didn't Butthead's voice say in your head, go, he said moron?
Maybe a little bit. It's funny. I can remember Jeff Logman being in studio with us at times last year, and we were talking about Blake Bortles and his progress throughout the season. And, we saw the long ball last year during the offseason and kind of went, ew. Like, almost every time Blake, we'd be, what is this for a guy who's the number 3 overall pick? And I think he got better with it, but I think that it speaks to the mechanics, how inconsistent he was with some of those throws, because Loggeman asked this, what do you think Blake does best? And I agreed 100% with him. It's those bucket throws where it should be the most difficult throw to make, those sideline throws where it has to be in this spot on time. He makes those, so he has the ability to do what he needs to do. It's just mechanically he isn't there yet, which is why he's been working on it as hard as he has in this offseason. And one of the guys that hopefully will be catching more of those bucket throws this year, Gus Bradley talked about the challenge he has for wide receiver Allen Robinson.
The challenge is for him is to play angry, to play, where he's competing, to get the ball, competing in all his routes. I think he's extremely competitive, but, he's got a 40-plus vertical jump, and, we want to be able to throw it up to him and know he's going to come down with the ball.
Yeah, and hopefully Allen Robinson can be more of that guy. He was a physical guy while he was at Penn State. Needs to translate to his NFL game, too.
You got to be able to catch it when you're covered in the NFL, because, it's not like college. You don't get the 3-yard cushion when the ball hits your hands. So it's not just about the deep balls downfield on those 10-yarders, Tony. Be able to physically box out your man, fight for the ball. You look at a guy coming out of college, Devontae Parker was so good at that at Louisville. That's the kind of strong-handed, attack the ball. Larry Fitzgerald, really good at that. You don't have to have a ton of separation if you've got good technique and you're aggressive, and I think that's part of what Gus is talking about.
Wrapping up yesterday's press conference, as the Jaguars, this is after yesterday's practice, Gus Bradley was asked if they could ask any more from Blake Bortles in terms of his approach.
Yeah, he competed, and we're going to ask more. But we're going to ask more of all those guys. I think you always say, what has changed this year compared to last year? I think this year we're making a bigger emphasis from this time period, this next 6 weeks or 7 weeks. I mean, we've kind of guided them right through it, exactly what we're looking for, what we had hoped for. It sounds to me like there's going to be more guys in Jacksonville this year than in years past, which is good, I guess. If some guys like to get away, and that's how they get themselves ready. Some guys want the structure. So, it's whatever they need. But, I think we're making more of an emphasis on that this time period we really need to compete to.
All right, there you go. Gus Bradley, as I said, his comments today, wrapping up practice, you'll hear throughout the course of the afternoon on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. We got you hooked up for Father's Day. Got a pair of tickets to the World Golf Hall of Fame Museum and the IMAX Theater, plus a $25 gift card to the Loop Pizza Grill. I mean, that's a great combo for anybody out there. Go take in a little dinner and a show. So if you'd like to get that for Dad for Father's Day, all you need to do is pick up the phone right now. Call 641-1010. Of course, that doubles as the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. But call Tyler right now at 641-1010. We'll take caller number 3 to get the World Golf Hall of Fame Museum and IMAX Theater, pair of tickets, and a $25 gift card to the Loop Pizza Grill. And check out 1010XL.com for more great Father's Day gift ideas. But hurry up, because Father's Day is coming up this weekend. How about a day of unabated U.S. Open golf?
Sweet.
If that's what you want, if you're dad, you get it, because it's Father's Day. You get whatever you want. on Sunday, Tony. It's other than actually having a kid, it's the great luxury of having kids when you're a man. So there you have it. We're going to head inside here, I think, and take in, and we'll note the temperature difference from outside. I really don't think it's that bad today. Of course, I've got a fan and shade and a breeze.
Right.
And
we actually had David tweeted us, all the roofers in Jacks feel bad for you guys braving the heat.
Oh, it's
hashtag cry me a river.
It's awful. It's just absolutely awful.
I told him we would never be confused for tough guys.
No. We'll check in on the fan feedback spotlight as well, asking you today, with the Jags now officially done on the field until training camp, how would you assess, rate, you know, if you want to give it a grade or however else you want to describe it, how would you rate the entirety of the offseason from the good to the bad, everything contained in there, and we'll take a look at that when we come back. Hey, thanks to Tom Champion and the Jaguar support staff, or the 1010XL support staff, I should say, and the Jaguar support staff, for that matter, for setting us up out here at the Florida Blue practice fields. They always do a tremendous job, and particularly with the tent. But when the potato chip concession gets broken down, it's time to get out of town. It's time to scram.
We'll be back at the end of July.
We'll see you out here for training camp. We'll be eating fan cam chili on July 31st, I have a feeling, when it's all said and done. All right, coming back to wrap things up here. Jaguars today live at Everbank. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony with you on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Oh, this is what it's been like for Johnny O for the last few weeks.
Right?
Coming in off the practice field and...
That's why every day he walks by the studio. He's like, hey, you want me today?
Yeah, can I come in? You want me for two segments today? I'd be happy to come in and spend time with you guys. On Twitter from David J, at DavidJ282002, says all the roofers in Jacksonville feel real bad for you guys braving the heat. Hashtag cry me a river. Hashtag Jaguars today. We appreciate that as well.
Yeah.
Such as Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. 287-7756, Tony, for all your roofing needs. License number CCC.
I was hoping that was
056797. It was a segue.
Because I had mentioned it 5 minutes ago.
I know you did. I know you did.
But I know,
but I wanted to segue.
I know your brain sometimes
because
is
I was
a
out there, and I didn't have my copy points up, and I didn't want to give out the wrong phone number for Bob Roberts, so I thought, let me just kind of tie that all together when we come back inside. I thought that worked very well.
It did.
Thank you very much. U.S. Open, Scobie update. Yep. 7 guys tied for the lead, including Phil Mickelson, the only one you need to be concerned with right here. Although some pretty good names up there early. Adam Scott, Matt Kuchar, Hideki Matsuyama, and even Colin Montgomery is 1-under through a birdie to his first hole out today. So good for Monty.
Yeah, I think TV coverage starts at noon on Fox Sports 1, and it switches over to Fox at like 8.
Here's what you do. You watch, you turn on the TV coverage, okay, and what you listen to XL Primetime. You turn down the volume on the TV. You listen to XL Primetime, and then when they go to commercial later, you go watch Amanda's Jaguar video.
There you go.
On 1010XL.com. It all comes together. Tony, the question of the day, asking people, would the roofers in Jacksonville feel sorry for us? No, that was not the question of the day. But we've answered it.
The answer is no.
The answer is incorrect. They do not. How do you assess this offseason to this point in time? How do you rate it, all things considered, now that they're done until training camp? What did the folks have to say?
Here's what we got from Eric B-. Good free agency, good draft, but losing Fowler hurts a lot. No further injuries, hopefully. From Jason, I'll give it an A+. 10 out of 10 because somehow they have gotten me excited again. From David, they filled needs and upgraded positions. I'd give them an A. Gameplay will show the true grade. From Isaiah, C-. From Demetrius, B-. Not much you can take from players without pads, especially our scrutinized positional group, the offensive line. From Nick, C, first-round pick loss for the year, and now lost the potential starter at free safety through training camp. Hashtag picked him for a reason. From Black Dog, offseason rated as PG-15. Playoff guided 2015.
Like it.
Hashtag clap clap. Woo! From Daniel. Best offseason for the Caldwell regime, mainly due to the draft and free agency.
Yes. And, I think that's the way we all felt. And, you know, the big setback is Dante Fowler Jr. getting hurt. Even Sample, I don't think it's that big a deal. Guys are going to miss time in the offseason, be they rookies or veterans. And if you're worried that, if your biggest problem would have been that your fourth round safety isn't ready to go for the first day of training camp potentially, well, that's okay. You know what I mean? That's good problem to have. That is a good problem to have.
Sure.
Dante Fowler Jr. obviously a lot more significant.
You and little
in the
Gus
mix.
Bradley there. That's good problem
that's
to have.
That's good problem. That's good job by the Jaguars staying healthy out there in the heat.
No, I think that's about right. I mean, when I look at it and the offseason in general, I think it's I give it like a low end B when everything is said and done. I think they accomplished a lot of what they wanted to accomplish, but they're bringing in a bunch of guys that we haven't seen playing these kind of roles before in the National Football League. It's at least not as big as they're going to have to play it here in Jacksonville. So I probably give it like a B, B minus, somewhere in there, because I think they accomplished a lot, but what they accomplished, we'll see what it looks like when it plays out on the field. And I think that grade could go significantly higher than a B if all those pieces work out for this football team. But there's a lot to be seen. I love Jeremy Parnell. Love him when I watched him on the field for the Dallas Cowboys. But does he work as the right tackle in Jacksonville, knowing that's his job every day? I think so.
I think I have a hunch he will.
Right, I think so, but I got to see it before I feel 100% confident saying that. Scuda, a lot of these guys, even Sergio Brown, who we talked to today, who's going to get an even bigger opportunity with that sample injury, right? I mean, you have to see what it looks like on the field for all these pieces that they projected on before we really have a good idea.
And that's something we have to remind ourselves of every offseason, right? We were so excited last year. Oh, my gosh, Toby Gerhardt, he looks so good out there, right? And he did, and, you know, and then you get into a circumstance where he gets hurt in the first week of the season. He's a guy that Toby quietly has gotten some mention for how good he has looked in OTAs if you talk to the right people. So, you know, look, I know Hacker was bringing up some of the guys that are in the competition. I don't know if I see Bernard Pierce as being a big factor here. I certainly don't think Storm Johnson's a big factor. I don't think that both of those guys are on the team. I think Denard Robinson is next in line for touches. I think Toby may play a third down role. He excelled in that role in Minnesota.
Certainly did.
I think those three guys, along, you know, Yeldon included with them, they're secure, and then we'll see. It'll be Storm, it'll be Pierce or somebody emerging as that last spot. I think Corey Grant's the interesting guy, too, with his return ability, and they talked about his speed, the undrafted rookie out of Auburn, but maybe ultimately ends up as a practice squad candidate. You never know.
Could, yeah. And we'll see how that running back position shakes out. But I think the top three of the depth chart's pretty easy to figure out at this point. And I don't know what the path is for Bernard Pierce to make the team. You know, I don't see what the path is for him to be on the final 53-man roster at this point in time. Doesn't mean there's not a path. But I don't see what it, does he have to out third down Toby Gerhardt? I mean, is that really the way that he makes this football team, is to show he's a more effective player playing the role that Toby Gerhardt's expected to with the Jaguars this year? Maybe that's it.
Yeah, I would put long odds on him being on the final roster, but I don't have any say in it whatsoever.
But there's no risk.
I'm looking forward to training camp so we can actually see some football, you and I. Because this has been a strange offseason for us. I mean, typically, like last year, we're out there for just about every OTA practice. Anyone that's not scheduled to overlap with the show, but since you can't talk about what's happening during practice, there's no point in us being out there the last few weeks. So we've seen precious little actual football other than the rookie minicamp. So let's see some training camp and start to get a better of evaluation of these guys in a more of an environment that's going to more closely resemble what you see in the regular season.
And as it ratchets up while they're getting ready for preseason, and that competition for the bottom end of the roster should be better than it's been since this regime got here. So training camp's going to be a lot of fun. We got 5.5 weeks to get ready for it. We got one text in on the Boston Restaurant and Sports Bar text line I wanted to address before we get out
Please
of here
do.
Today, Mike. Marvin sent in, we have to stop labeling guys or at least alluding to their potential to be a bust without giving them the opportunity on the field to prove their worth one way or the other. If I'm not mistaken, Blaine Gabbert and countless others look great during OTAs. Let's give them a chance. Love the show, and I agree with everything you said, Marvin. And I think he's alluding to the conversation we had about Marquise Lee and the potential for him to be a bust, or for Dante Fowler. And I think the point that I was trying to make is, the way the bust story starts is the way that these guys have started their career. Doesn't mean I think they're going to be bust. I don't think either one of them will be, and I certainly hope that neither one of them are, because I think they're both super talented guys at the NFL level, but this is how that story begins, and you have to be a little bit on edge about those kind of players when they come in and can't be on the field from day one.
You do, but at the same time, and, you know, Hacker Center is getting to the point where you're going to be worried about it's a pattern. Not anywhere close to that point right now.
Not for me either.
You know, get to training camp. Marquise Lee is healthy for the start of training camp and remains that way. It's not an issue. It never comes up again. So we'll see how that goes. We'll talk to those guys coming up on the other side. But before we do, it's a very special day for a very special young lady out there on the First Coast. Tyler Devitt, do tell. Give us the details.
I know we're right up against the clock, so I'll make it fast. But I wanted to absolutely wish the best happy birthday to my mother. I won't say how old she's turning today. I know it's like an unwritten rule when talking about women.
23
yes. I'm 22. She's turning 23 today. Happy birthday to my mom. I absolutely love her, and I would not be here today if it wasn't for her.
happy birthday to your mom as well.
That statement was 100% accurate.
Yes, and we're kind of glad that you had Tyler because he's an all right dude. I mean, we tolerate him. But happy birthday to Tyler's
mom
out there and to all you folks out there celebrating your birthday. Let's say hello to Joe C. T-Wig Hacker coming up on the other side. That does it for us today. Thanks to John Osier for stopping by. Thanks to Hacker. Thanks to Amanda Borges. Thanks to Sergio Brown and all of you out there in Jaguar Radio Land. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, back to wrap this up with the boys at XL Primetime next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, Duval, give me two claps and a Ric Flair.